Okay, so we're on we're on Daf Mem Gimel today. So I'm going to begin on Mem Beis Amud Beis around 10 lines from the bottom. All right. So the Gemara says I'll pick up from Amar Ula, 10-15 lines from the bottom. The last two words online are Amar Ula. It's two lines above where it says Shaman Torah Or. So Amar Ula, Kol Parsha Kula Mashma Motzi Miad Mashma. The whole parsha, he's talking about, again, we're talking about Paraduma. We hooked into Paraduma. It's interesting. You have a number of connections between Paraduma and Yom Kippur. Remember, the first off, we said there was the sequestration of the Kohen 7 days before he deals with the para. And here we have also like this red wall, the strip of wall, the strip of red wall we have by the Avodah Yom Kippur. We also had it by the Paraduma. Anyway, the Gemara got into a discussion of the Paraduma. And the Gemara is saying now that when, if you look at the Psukim and Parsha Pukat, which are on page 838 in the New York School, but it's the Perek Yetet, Pasuk Aleph, and Bamidbar. So he's saying that the Gemara is saying some of the Psukim will like reverse the halakhic standards in one pasuk. In other words, we'll go from one standard in one pasuk to another standard in another pasuk. Who's kasher to do this? Who's kasher to do that? And some will go along the way you would expect it to go along. That's what he's saying. So Amar Ula Kol Parsha Kula Mashma Motzi Miad Mashma. In other words, one pasuk is in distinction from the other pasuk. And then others are like going along the flow the way you'd expect it. Now he takes down the Pesukim, like we say in law, Siriatim. He's doing one at a time. When it's Temotil Lazar Kohen, everybody had to bring the Paraduma and give it to Elazar Kohen. Elazar Kohen is not the Kohen Gadol, he's the Skan Kohen, but in the midbar they would give it to Elazar Kohen. Otali Elazar, Lil Garot Elazar. So you'll give it, this one, to Elazar. But in future generations, not to Elazar. So he says, Ikad Amri, so there's two ways to understand this. Ikad Amri, the door of the Kohen Gadol. Someone to say that in future generations, the Kohen Gadol is always the one who has to handle the Paraduma, the Ikad Amri, the door of the Kohen Hedyot. So it means like this, that in the Midbar, we know the Torah says, before you give it to Elazar Kohen, who's Aaron Kohen's son. He's the Skan Kohen Gadol. But it was Otah, only him. This one you're going to give to him. So other generations are different. So with either other generations, you're going to give to the Kohen Gadol. So we mean that the Paraduma is always processed by the Kohen Gadol. Or means in other generations, be the Kohen Hedyot. We're on 10 lines to the bottom on the days, number days. He says, so the Gemara says, B'shleim l'man d'marla d'rot b'Kohen Hedyot shaptir. So according to the opinion, it says that future generations of our Kohen Hedyot, that makes sense. Because if it doesn't say anything, so I would default over to saying a regular Kohen. If it's saying Elazar Kohen, so anything else, I understand is a regular Kohen. And Lamandabar's word of Kohen Gadol, Manali, but the opinion says that future generations have to be the Kohen Gadol. Where does he get the idea that future generations are the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, Gamar Huka Huka Miyoma Kippurim. He says that he learns Xerishav Huka Huka. It says here, Zod Hukata Torah. And it says by the Avodah on Yom Kippur, by Telechem Lechukat Olam, it says by, or something like that, it says by the Yom Kippur. He says, so Mamela, I have the Kol Chuka Chuka that would teach me the future generation, the Paraduma is always with the Kohen Gadol. Okay, now I'm going to continue on a few more lines and I'll pause another a little bit. We're around 8 lines from the bottom on Mem Beis Amud Beis, 42b, Robert, okay? Vahotziota shloyotzia cheredima. So it says Vahotziota. So again, if you have a chumash in front of you, it helps, Robert. Robert, if you have a chumash, it helps. Page 838, the chumash. Okay. So it says, so we did on Pasuk Yom Tzematol Azar Kohen. Now saying Vahotziota El Michutz LaMachaneh. He'll take it outside the Machaneh. So back in the Gemara, Vahotziota Shloyotzia Cheranima. Vahotziota. He will take it out. Meaning only this and not another cow with it. Kitnan, the way Tapara wrote Salatzei, if the para doesn't want to go, now the first shot, I think, well, I'll put a leash around it and pull it, but that's doing malacha with the paraduma, so I can't do that. So he says, Loi Tapara wrote Salatzei, if the para doesn't want to go, so my idea is I'll have another cow, it'll go along with the other cow, it'll be like the Chabrashaft, come along. So he says, "Ein motzi nimashkor." I can't take a black cow with it. So yomru shkor shpato. So people shouldn't say, "Oh, he really shechted the black cow, not the red cow." He says, "Ein motzi nimaduma." I shouldn't take another red cow with it. Shul Yomru Shtayim Shachtu, is people shouldn't say you shechted two. Now, there's also a lacha that when you're processing one paraduma, you can't do another malacha with it. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so that's the first Tanakama. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Lo min Hashem huzeh, that's not the reason why we can't do those things. El mishum shenemar ota levado. It says, Vahotzi ota, it by itself. So it means like this. So the Torah says, Vahotzi ota michot samachane. So only this cow. There's a machlok between the Tanakama Rebbe and Rebbe. Rebbe says, ota means, that's it. It says ota, that's the only thing it goes. The Tanakama, and we'll see in a minute, it's going to go like Reb Shimon, says that we have to make a subfacial examination. What's the reason for the mitzvah? Why does the Torah say only it, not something else? So the Tanakama says the reason is because of the concerns that we said, that people shouldn't say A and shouldn't say B. So we'll see in a minute. The Tanakama aktiv ota. So the Tanakama says ota. Why doesn't it go along with that? So he says, man Tanakama, who's the Tanakama? Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon means... is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. When it's Reb Shimon, it's usually Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. He says, the Darish Tama Dikra. He is Doresh, the reasons for the Mitzvot in the Torah. Like, for example, it says in Bav Metziah, Rashi brings it down, Kuf Tevav, that Lo Tachavol Beged Almanah. You can't take security, the garment of an almanah, of a widow. So the Pshuto Shemikra, I can't take security from a widow. But Reb Shimon makes a subfacial examination of the mitzvah. He says the reason they don't want you to take it is if you go, because you'll have to give it to her at night when she goes to sleep. In other words, so she'll have her pajamas or her night clothes or nightgown. And then people will say, oh, what's she doing with Sky, the lender? We've seen lenders on mail. So it'll lead to problems. So if the borrower was a wealthy person, maybe she had a liquidity issue or something like that. So Reb Shimon learns that you could take her begging. The point being, Reb Shimon makes a subfacial examination of the mitzvot, and based on that, he makes halakhic determinations. So here too, the Gemara is saying that Rebbe says, it says, oh, you can't take another cow with it. Skip the reason for it. And the Tanakhama says, we know the reasons. That people shouldn't say, you shechted the black one. People shouldn't say, you shechted two cows. So the Gemara says, "My binai, what's an afkamina? At the end of the day, they both hold. I can only take one cow out. So ika binai, with the top line of Mishnah Aleph, the apik samur bahador. So the afkamina would be, let's say he takes a donkey out with the cow. So in Mela, according to the Tanakhama, it's not a problem because the only problem was that people would say he shechted one or the other one. Nobody's going to say he shechted the donkey. Obviously, Kachna not going to say. But according to the other one, it's potziota. That's it. You're limited to that." All right, let me just do a few more lines, and then we'll take our first pause. Okay, v'shachat ota, again, if you're following the psukim, so we're at the end of Pasuk Gimel. All we've been doing is Pasuk Gimel today on page 838, line 4 and line 5. So he says in the Chumash, v'shachat ota shlo yishchot acheret ima. So v'shachat ota, he shouldn't shecht another animal with it. There's a different halacha. In other words, let's say he has two cows, whatever, taking a long knife. He shouldn't do that either. This one, lefanav. Now, the shachar otal again. The shachar otal lefanav. He will shecht it in front of him. It's very confusing, right? Because they were going to give it to Elazar Cohen. The shachar otal lefanav. He's going to shecht it before him. Who's shechting and who's him? Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, lefanav on the third line. Lefanav. Rav, so Rav, you had Rabbi thinking yesterday's daf. He's saying shachar otah lefanav, that he Elazar will shecht it, but he can't have hadas from it. He has to be totally focused on this cow at all times. He says l'Shmuel shezar shokeh Elazar roeh. Shmuel says no, that the non-kohen can shecht the animal, and the non-kohen will shecht it. The shachar otah lefanav will shecht it in front of him. Now then, the pasuk continues in pasuk Dalet, we're line 6 on page 38 in the Chumash. He says, Elzar the Kohen will take from the blood of the paro with his etzba, which is usually the index finger. The Shmuel lahadure li Elazar. So Shmuel will say, in other words, why does the Torah go back and say Elzar Elazar Kohen? We mentioned Elazar. So according to Shmuel, the previous pasuk mentioned that a non-kohen could actually do the shechita. So even though Elazar is God and he's supervising the whole thing, the non-kohen shechts it. And now the Torah is saying, when it comes with the dam, with the finger, that has to be Elazar Kohen. The Rav, according to Rav, we were doing all this all along. The Rav having miyad after miyad. So Rav, it's one miyad after miyad. So they have a limitation, Elazar Kohen. Now it says, again, Elazar Kohen. They miyad after miyad, El Rabo, that people Kohen head go. It's that, in other words, it's like, I think, like in mathematics, you have like a negative integer times a negative integer, like -2 times -2 is +4. So we have a miyad after miyad. If you have a ribui. So the ribui is saying that this does not have to be done with Elazar Cohen. In other words, the Elazar Cohen had to bring it, had to shecht it according to Rav. But according to Rav, not only Elazar Cohen, any Cohen could do that, could do the hazah with the finger. Oh, let me stop for a minute because we did a little bit of halachot here. Who's got questions either in the live world or the cyber world and anything that we did?
Everybody good?
Yeah, what's up, Fern?
No, you were talking about a subfacial examination and looking at the reason. Right. I thought the fact that this is a chok means we don't go for the reasons behind it.
Well, not 100%, the point of Reb Shimon, not 100% correct. In other words, in Achinami, we don't know the reason. You could even hold like we don't know the reason for the mitzvah ultimately, but within the prat, we can understand the reason for the prat. In other words, So you could say we don't know what the reasoning is behind the entire mitzvah. When the Torah says "Vahotzi otalafanav," we understand the Torah wants, according to Reb Shimon, wants one animal because people shouldn't think he shechted like the black cow or something like that. So with that we could have the reasoning. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, I don't know the reason for the whole mitzvah. I don't know why the Ribbono Shel Olam told me to do the paraduma.
But we need to probe enough so we know how to do it. Talafanav,
that I understand, according to Reb Shimon, that's telling me because I don't want people to think that they took another cow out. And
what about
what? What's up?
Well, I'm going to say, what about B'dyevid? If a Kohen head, you did it B'dyevid.
Wait, scream. I can't hear you. Say it louder.
If a Kohen head, you did the Shechita, B'dyevid.
Right.
So, like, what about the Yom is what would be the, would it be good?
So that's a different halacha. We said according
to right?
We said again according to Shmuel, a non-Kohen could do the shechita, and according to Rav, Elazar has got to do the shechita.
And what happens if a Kohen had you did it for the Yevid according to Rav? Is it still good?
And lechora not. No, all right. Look, I have to move on. Any other questions? Okay, please forgive me, but I got to make sure we get to finish the talk today. Okay, let's go further than tomorrow. Okay, we're on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, we're around line 8. I'm Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, okay. So now we're up to Velakacha Kohen. This is Pasuk Vav. Okay, so on 838, the art scroll, 4 lines from the bottom. This is Perek Yotet Pasuk Vav in Bamidbar. Velakacha Kohen. Again, the Torah is said, we know 50 times already that we're talking about the Kohen. So why is the Torah repeat again? Like, a Kohen. We know we're talking about a Kohen, because it just said Elazar Kohen in the last Pasuk. And he says, or in Pasuk Dal. So he says, the Kohen will take the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the red wool. He says, L'shmuel, that people be Kohen head yod. So Shmuel will interpret this, that even a Kohen head yod can do that. That's the way Shmuel will take it. That lab dafka Elazar Kohen. L'rav, itzrich, sakadai tzamina, kevin lav kufit deparaninhu, loli by Kohen. Rav will say that I would think that maybe, since this doesn't relate to the animal itself, I'm taking items that I'm going to throw into the fire. So Rav would say, Maybe it doesn't even have to be a Kohen. So Kamash Malan. So why is it to emphasize Kohen here? So according to Shmuel, it's to say that even a Kohen head yod could throw the eight errors in. And according to Rav, he'll say that since it doesn't relate to the body of the animal itself, I would think even a non-Kohen could do it. The Chibes Begadav, let's go further. So now, where's the Chibes Begadav? Yeah, this is Pasuk Zion.
Okay. Zion.
Yeah, so I think I was a Pasuk Bab before. Okay, so 3 lines to the bottom. V'chibes b'gadav ha-kohen, b'ki hu no. So again, why does it say Kohen again for the umpteenth time? Why does it repeat Kohen again? So it's saying b'ki hu no, meaning that he has to be wearing his begadim. In other words, he said the chibes begadim of a kohen, the kohen is going to immerse his begadim in the mikvah, but it has juxtaposing begadim with the kohen. Teach me that the kohen bedafka has to be wearing his big day kahuna. And again, it's still unusual. He's not in the base of mikdash. He's on har hazeitim. He says the chibes begadim of a kohen bekiuno. The tamei kohen on arev. And pasuk continues on. He says the tamei kohen on arev. He says kohen. The kihuno l'doro. So again, why does repeat Kohen that in future generations, all the Kohenim that deal with the Paraduma have to wear their big day kuna, not just now. Okay, now Hanich Laban Damar l'doro the Kohen had Yod Shapir. So we mentioned before there was a machloket, who's going to be working with the Paraduma. So if I say it's a Kohen Hedyot, so inachinami, so I need this lima to teach me, the Kohen Hedyot is working with the Paraduma, has to be wearing his big dekuna. Showing. This is Elamandamar, the door of the Kohen Gadol, but according to the opinion, it says it's always the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, but Dafka is the one who's working with the Paraduma, has to Kohen Gadol, but Yinan, the Kudoi Baya. So if you're telling me that it has to be the Kohen Gadol, so there I would know logically he's got to be wearing his big dekuna. And even if I assume that some parts of this don't require the Kohen Gadol, even according to the opinion that holds, it has to be the Kohen Gadol, but ad kedei kach to go down two notches. In other words, if it's, let's say I hold it has to be the Kohen Gadol, and some of them don't have to be the Kohen Gadol, some can be really Kohen. But to go down one notch that he's a Kohen, and one notch he's not wearing the big day kuna, ad kedei kach, I don't need a limud for it. It's logical. So the Gemara says, so do I need a pasuk to teach me that? In other words, I know this by my own svara. So in, I do need a pasuk. Why? Milta the kavachomer, the blood for all. The Gemara says sometimes there are things that I could learn with a kavachomer, and a kavachomer is a wonderful way of learning, and it's very good. It's one of the hermeneutic principles, one of the yemidot of Rabbi Shmuel. But sometimes the Torah will add a pasuk to teach me that which I could learn with the kavachomer. Let me just do a few more lines, and then we'll pause again. So now we're up to pasuk tet. Okay, page 840, line 1 in the art scroll. It's a parakitet pasuket. He says, line 1. He says, "Vasapi tahor eifer a paravinia," that a person who's tahor will gather up the ashes of the para and put it down. So he says, "Ish lachshir dazar." In other words, these are all superfluous terms. He says, "Ish is lachshir edazar." That's the hishmi that a non kohen can even gather up the ashes. Tahor lachshir da isha. Tahor teaches me that, in other words, I know it would be Tahor. In other words, Tahor is also a superfluous term. And Rashi brings down, he says, Pshita of the Chatat Karyurachman. I know you have to be Tahor, because Torah calls it a Chatat. It's not logical that how many person will work with it. So Ish Lachshir Tazar, Tahor Lachshir to Isha. Tahor teaches me that a woman could also do this. So I learned, so Basaf Ish Tahor, Devar Parah, I learned that a non-Kohen male could do it and a woman could do it. So v'hiniach, v'mishish bodat l'haniach. V'hiniach, you place down, it has to be somebody who's got das, like sensibility to put it down. Yetzu cheresh shota v'kata v'shem dam dat l'haniach. So a cheresh, a deaf mute, a shota, a person does not in his right faculties of his mind, and a kata and a minor can't do it. So basically what we learned in this section, just 1 minute, is that v'asapish tahor, and if that somebody's going to gather up the ashes and place them down. So we learned that there's a ribuim with this. So the ribuim. So the ribuim are non-Kohen could do it, and a woman could do it. And the miyud is a cherishot of a katan cannot do it. Let's see further. So now we learned the Mishnah. And this Mishnah is in Masechet Para. Hakokshim lekadesh. That now he's focusing now, slipping down. One second. Yeah. So he's slipping down to Pasuk Yitzayin now. Okay, so it's 840 in the art scroll, around 8 lines from the bottom. It says, they're going to mix the water, the spring water, with the ashes. Okay? So again, so we spoke about gathering the ashes. So we learned that people who could gather the ashes don't have to be a Kohen and could be a woman, but it can't be a Cheresh Shoft or a Katan. Now we're going to mix the ashes with the water. And it's a question whether you have the ashes and you add the water, or you have the water, then you add the ashes. But either way, they're going to mix the ashes with the water. So the Mishnah says, Tanana Tana, Chuk Shem L'Kadesh, everyone is qualified to mix the ashes with the water, Chutz Mei Cheresh Shoft B'Katan, except for a Cheresh Shoft B'Katan. That's Tana Kama. So the Tana Kama, we'll see in a minute. So the Tana Kama L'Kora is lined up with the limud we just had. There was the people who were good to gather the ashes, and that was even even a woman and even a non-Kohen, and the people who were excluded were Cheresh Shoft B'Katan. That seems to be the Tana Kama. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Katan U'Posel B'Ishav Androgynous. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he says a Katan could mix the ashes with the water, and he passes a woman and an androgynous. Androgynous is a person who has simanim from both male and female. So my Tama Rabban, so we'll take them down one at a time. So we have this Mishnah. We have two opinions in the Mishnah. Who can mix the water? So we'll see. So my Tama Rabban, what's the reason for the Chachamim? The Chivalach Kulatamemi Afar Sri Farach Katat. Hanaf de Paslach Pasifa Paslach Bakirish. But Hanaf de Astrilach Pasifa Astrilach Bakirish. So Tana Kama is very straightforward. In other words, the people that you said were good on the Asafi Shtahor. So Basafi Shtahor was, what Pasuk was that? That's Pasuk Tet. So the people who were set forth as being permissible in Pasuk Tet, which we said is a non-Kohen and a woman, that those are the people that can do Pasuk Yitzayin, like the Tamei. Those are the people that can mix the water with the ashes. And the people that are not good for Pasuk Tet, like the Cheresh Shoft B'Katan, they're not good for Pasuk Yitzayin. Okay, that's the first opinion. Rabbi Yehuda obviously does not agree with this, because Rabbi Yehuda is flipping everything over, right? Rabbi Yehuda says the katan is kosher and the isha is not kosher. So Rabbi Yehuda, says if this pasuk is just a continuation, in other words, I have pasuk that by Asafi Tavor, then pasuk Yitzayin b'la kula tameh. So if pasuk Yitzayin folds together with pasuk that, so I'd expect the pasuk to say b'la kach, singular, let the person take it. In other words, the same person who was doing Pasuk Tet, gathering the ashes, they'll mix it with the water. My v'lachu, what's plural? V'lachu, they will take it. V'afilu katan, the pasla katam, that even a katan who is pasal to gather up the ashes, pasal kasher. So here is kosher. So the katan we got covered. So we understand why the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says the katan could mix the ashes. But Isha Menale, where does he learn that a woman cannot mix the ashes? So Venatan below Venat no. It says Venatan alav mayim chayim. The second verb. Venatan is Lashon Zakar. So he takes it. Only a man because it's male. Let me see. It says
But isn't that the grammatical default position when you're talking about a czar?
One second. Yeah. All right, give me one second. Okay, just one second. Just hold on just one minute, okay? He says, so Menali, Benatan, below Benatno. Rabbanan, what do the Chachamim say in response to that? Yikitav Rachmanu B'lakach Benatan, if the Torah would have said B'lakach Benatan, it was said of B'lachu Benatan, he says, Havamina Adashak Kitzad B'yayitad. I would think that the same person has to. So the same person who gathered up the ashes is the one who has to mix the ashes. So one person could gather up the ashes and the other one can mix it. And if Torah would say b'lachu b'nanu, both plural, I would say the same two people have to gather it, same two people have to mix it. That's what I would have thought. Even if two people gather, one person mixes, we're good. Okay, I'll get you. I haven't forgotten you, Bash friend. Just give me a minute. Okay, now, so the Gemara says, "V'lakachizo b'tavavayim ish tahor rabbanan ish velo isha." So now let's go back. B'tavavayim ish tahor. Where's the b'tavavayim ish tahor? One second. 18. Okay, thank you. Okay, yes, so we're now Pasuk Yechet. Lakate zov with kabal b'mayim ish tahor. So now somebody's going to take this like hyssop bush, the branch, and stick it in the water, ish tahor, and he's going to sprinkle it. So let's see back in Gemara. Lakate zov with b'mayim ish tahor. The Rabbanan ish below isha. So according to the Chachamim, who held that that up until now women could be involved, right? The Chachamim held women could be involved in the asifa, and women could be involved also in the mixing. So this the Kabbalah B'mayim ish tahor. So when it says ish tahor here, Rabbanan ish below isha, tahor lachshir to katan, and tahor is saying a katan could do it, but not an isha. So in other words, it's coming out, whatever you said before, it's the opposite. So come to hell before that women were good and katan were not good. So here it's getting flipped over because it says, well, katan was so, but it's going ish tahor. Ish below isha tahor lakshir to katan. So, you know, I should have mentioned along the way, this is one of the examples, not the only example, where, again, we said at the beginning of the sugya that things get reversed, right? We said that it's, we said that, what was the last shown? He says, mashma motzi miad mashma, that things get reversed. This is one example where a halacha is true in one pasuk, and it gets reversed in the other pasuk. And we had it earlier as well. No. In other words, the limudim we're making from it. But in other words, we're saying that the halacha is, according to the chachamim, that the woman could gather up the ashes. When it comes to like sprinkling the ashes, the woman's not good for it. That's the idea. Okay, so he says here, Rabbi Huda. Now Rabbi Huda said that the woman wasn't good to collect the ashes, but the katan was good. Rabbi Huda ish below katan. Here he's saying, no, Rabbi Huda said the katan was good to collect the ashes and to mix the ashes. So here the Rabbi Huda with sprinkling, Rabbi Huda ish below katan, a man and not a katan. Tahor lakshir to isha. So either one is reversing the sheet they had before. Okay, now we're going to ask Tasha against Tan Rabbi Yehuda, and then I'll pause for 1 minute and we'll try to get you referring. Okay, Meitai. So the bottom line is Rabbi Yehuda says with the sprinkling that it's a woman could do the sprinkling. This is what he said. A woman could do the sprinkling according to Tan Rabbi Yehuda. Meitai. So in this we ask Tasha from the following Mishnah Masechet Parah. Everyone is kasher to sprinkle the water of the apron para. Puts me tumtum v'androgynous v'isha. He says, except for a tumtum is the person whose genitals are hidden over. Androgynous, he's got both. And a woman. The katan sheish bodat isha mesayato. If it's a katan that's got sense with him, a woman could help him umazen and sprinkle it. Below, turn page, below Pali Rabbi Huda. So here we only have one opinion in the Mishnah, and it's not according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda's Tana is holy with this, but if everything we said is true, we would expect the Mishnah to say. But Rabbi Yehuda says that an Isha could sprinkle. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye came into Amar Mar Mashma Motzi Miad Mashma Umashma Meila Pali. In other words, Abaye says, since we know already that with this parsha. That the way you darshan the pesukim, you're going to flip them over back and forth. And we know already that Rabbi Yehuda says Mefurash that when it comes to gathering the ashes, that a woman was not allowed to collect the ashes. So then, Mamela, we can understand on our own that he would be cholik with this. And the Tana didn't think it was necessary to spell everything out with that. Okay. Let me just pause for a bit. Now let me get back to Fern. Okay, Fern, what can I do for you?
When we were talking about Rav Yehuda's position that the Isha couldn't, I guess it was sprinkle initially on her own, pointed to the fact that it said v'natan and not v'natna.
Yeah.
Why the Hebrew defaults to the male? So the czar is a natan. Why would Rav Yehuda even think that it would say v'natna?
Yeah. Okay. So if you look at the article, footnote 25, it says Rav Yehuda expounds the shift from the plural they found at the beginning of the. In other words, he's focusing on the beginning of the pasuk says v'lachu and then v'natan. In other words, in the same pasuk, we're going from plural to singular. So he says. The shift is to expound he literally. That's what he says. Let's look at Tosfos. Let me see. Tosos here. One minute. Let me see.
Natan velo not na. It's the fourth dibur hamashpil.
Yeah, okay, so you have, you don't need me, you have it already. But Tavolo and Afagat the full Torah Kupla Shom Safar Nemra, just like Fern says, to the Ita Befern, he says, Bafil Haki Lomatin Yisha Elheka the Fidbehedia, Yishnomar Shani Hakami, Shani Krabi Dure, the Tibla Kupla Shom Rabbi, and Bahadur Kibanatan, Bakhtar Shina below, but not now. In other words, once the Torah like shifted over to plural and then shifts back to the singular, so then we could darshan. The Benatan. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, and thoughts? Yeah, so that was about the Kohanim always have to wear the big day kahuna throughout. So the Gemara says if I say it's always with a Kohen head yod, so fine, that I understand, that I need a language. But if I say it's a Kohen Gadol, so if the Torah is telling me that this one is Elazar Kohen, he's not the Kohen Gadol. In the future, it's got to be the Kohen Gadol. And Elazar Kohen has to wear a big day kuna, and now a Kohen Gadol. So certainly he's got to wear the big day kuna. And even though there are some parts that even that sod would hold, don't have to be the Kohen Gadol. But from the fact that it's like two removed, in other words, there was not the Kohen Gadol and not the big day kuna, I wouldn't think such as far. All right. Everybody good? Okay, so let's keep moving. We're just about on time now. All right, let's take a look. Okay, just 1 minute. Okay. Yeah, right. So we're one went down and 7:30. That's 1 minute and 1 time. Okay, now.
Talking about Pasuk Yotet.
Okay. Yeah, okay, on line 3, on Megillah Beis 43b, the third line. Okay, Bizna Tahor La Tameh. Now, the Tahor person will sprinkle the Tame person. So, again, these are superfluous terms. And if you look at Rashi, in the second line, Zator, I know we're talking about the Tahor person. It's like Kohen. So here's a Tahor. He says, Tahor Meklal Shuhu Tame. Meaning, from the fact that that the Torah says Tahor, there's two ways that you could darshan this. You can either say that the implication was that he was just Tame and now he's Tahor, or the Torah is saying he had another way to understand this was, one second. Or else that he's Tahor for this halacha, but Tame for a different halacha. So Bizator Tame, Tahor Meklal Shu Tame, he made al Tavul Yom Shekasher Bapara. So this teaches me that a Tavul Yom is kasher with the paraduma. Remember, we discussed this earlier. I think it was on Daf Beis in this Masechta that Sukkim didn't agree with this, that about the Tavul Yom. Remember, there were a lot of chumras they had with the paraduma. Remember, there was that they would be Metame, the Kohen Gadol, so that he would be Tavul Yom. And then as a result of that, they would, on the other hand, sort of counterbalance it out with a lot of chumras that they would do with the paraduma. So he says, teach me the Tavul Yom. Tavul Yom is a person who was Tame and is going through a Tahara process and went to the mikvah, just waiting for nightfall. That's a Tavul Yom. That teaches me these kasher with the paraduma. Okay, Amar Abasi, Yehavu ba Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Bapara. Rav Asi says, when Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish for Osek in this Indian, the paraduma, Lomaskmina Ella Kemai Damasi Talim Bekarba. They would only leave it like a wolf walking through a plowed field. Meaning, wolf is looking for food and all sorts of things to take with it. But if it's a plowed field, the only thing the wolf gets from it is like dust on his feet. So they were looking for like kalim to guide through the progression of the psukim. There was this uniformity with the psukim, but it didn't come up. Ela Amri, Mashva Motzim Yad Mashva, Mashva Mela. They said, sometimes it's different. You know, the psukim make the quick transitions from one pasuk to the other. And sometimes they do follow in conformity with it. All right, Tani Tana coming to Rabbi Yochanan. The Tana taught before Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shechito Sherub Bizar, Kusmi Shopara. That all Shechito means in the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash are Kashu the Zar, Kusmi Shopara. The Para is not shested in the Beis HaMikdash, but it is called the Chatad, and the Para has to be done with a Kohen. That's what the Tana taught before Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kuk Tani the Barah. Rabbi Yochanan said, teach that brisa outside. It means that's not a reliable brisa. It's not correct. We never see that shechita b'zar is psula. So shechita b'zar is always good. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, lo mibay l'tana do tzayit. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't listen to the Tana. Here the Tana means that in the time of the Moraim, there were certain people who knew what the brisa is. They were called Tanaim. So not only does Rabbi Yochanan not listen to the Tana, he doesn't even listen to his own Rebbe. He says, the Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shim ben Yehud Tzedak. Rabbi Yochanan says, and again, Mishum, so they had in the Masifta, that this has come up elsewhere in Daf Yomi, that when it says Mishum, it means he wasn't his Rabbi Mupak. Either Mishum means he didn't hear it directly from him, or it wasn't his Rebbe Mupak. So in this case, it wasn't his Rebbe Mupak. Rebbe Mupak means the person he learned, most he was learning from. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Mishum Rabbi Shim ben Yehud Tzedak. Rabbi Shim ben Yehud Tzedak is Tana. He says, Shechita Parah Bizar Psula. Shmi Yotzadak said that Shechita Parah with a non-coin is Psula. Bani Omer, Rabbi Yochanan says, Sheira. But we've seen Shechita Psula Bizar. We never see the Shechita Psula Bizar. So I was bothered by how could Rabbi Yochanan be cholik with the Bryce and cholik with his Rebbe with the whole thing. So I mentioned this to Rabbi Packer. He said, Mistama, there's another Shechita in the Tanaim. I don't know. But that's what I have with this. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? All right.
Was the brisa being questioned or the interpretation of the brisa?
No. In other words, the first was the Tana had a brisa and he taught that you have to be kohen to shecht the paraduma. And Rabbi Yochanan said that brisa is not reliable. Teach it out in the broad. Teach it outside the base members. In other words, so he's rejecting that brisa as an authoritative brisa. Then he quotes his rabbi as saying also that it has to be. And his Rabbi Yochanan was the first generation of a Moraim. He quotes his Rebbe is saying that it has to be a Kohen. And he says, but I, Rabbi Yochanan, say it does not have to be a Kohen. Shmuel said a Zark be Shokhe. You're right. Shmuel said a Zark be Shokhe. Now, let's just one minute. Yeah, but the thing is, Shmuel is also an Amara, I'm trying to say, though. In other words, like, Now, So again, so we had different psukim here where it went back and forth between the psukim, like earlier, Shmuel said that even a kohen hedyo take the eighth eretz they zov v'shnitolad, and Shmuel held that first the czar could check the animal, then Elazar is sprinkling the blood and then taking the eighth eretz they zov kohen hedyo, but the idea is like the psukim, they go back and forth. Who's talking about which mitzvahs are incumbent on which people? Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. We're 5 lines above the Mishnah. Now back to Yoma, in other words, our Indian. Follow Eisa Paro Shnia. Now the Kohen Gadol, remember, just remember the sequence of events. Remember, he made a vidui on the par, and that was when it was near the Mizbeah. Then he went over to the 2 Seirim that were near the entranceway, and then he did the lottery with them. And now he's going back to his par. Now he's going back to his par. So Shato b'kibel b'mizrak et demo. So he shechted the par, the bull, and he received the blood in a mizrak as a bowl. V'notno l'mishu m'mares bo al rovet ha-revish b'heifal. He gave it to somebody who would like stir it, and that person would be on the 4th row of stones of like tiles in Shiba Heichal. So it sounds like in the Heichal, in the covered structure, but it's not going to be that way because the Gemara says like you can't have kula damidam b'olam way v'ol b'kodesh l'kaper b'kodesh atzeito. No other person could be with him in the Heichal. So it's going to be this machloket to understand this, but it's going to be the 4th row either from the Heichal or the 4th row from the Mizbeach, or there's different tiers, you know, but not in the Heichal. Kadesh lo yikroshes. So the blood doesn't coagulate. What? I'm sorry. I skipped. Let me go back. Okay, Balawaitza Parashnia. I'm so sorry, I skipped. Okay, Balawaitza Parashnia. I went to the Mishnah. Okay, Maishna Bidwi Rusham Lo Amar Bnei Aaron Kiddushata. How come the first time when he does Vidui, he the Kohen doesn't say, you should bring Kapara for Bnei Aaron, like the all the Kohenim? He says, Maishna Bidwi Shaitan Amar Bnei Aaron Kiddushata. How come the second time he says Bnei Aaron? Why does he just all one Vidui and get everybody with it? So Tana the baby Rabbi Shmuel. So Bryce was taught in the basement of Rabbi Shmuel, Kachi Midra Dinotenet. Logically, this is the way it makes sense. It's preferable to have somebody who's been purged of Aveirot to bring Kapara for somebody who's not in such a good situation. The one who's also like in the same boat isn't such a good person to be Mekaper on the Chayav. So that's the way that piece goes. All right, now, and again, just to refresh your recollection, remember there's Machloket Tanoim, what the par is mechaper for. So according to one Tana, the par is only mechaper for two mikdash v'kadashav, and all the kohenim, they get kapara like everybody else with the seir mishaleach. In other words, the seir that's for a korban and the par are for two mikdash v'kadashav is one way to do it. Or the other way is to say that the par brings full kapara for the kohenim, shevikuna for all the aveirot. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, we're up to the next Mishnah. Okay, so Manitin. Okay, everybody good? Everybody good? Okay, Manitin. Shkato, but keep building this rocket demo. Should I ask them to be quieter? All right. Shkato, but keep building this rocket demo. He shecht the animal and he received the blood in a bowl. The note no lamisha hu mamare spo ala robita revigish behechal. He gave it to the person who would be stirring the blood. And that person would be on the fourth row of stones to the heichal. So it sounds like the simple meaning in the Mishnah sounds like it's in the heichal. In other words, in this covered structure, but that can't be the way it is. Nobody's allowed in the covered structure with the kohen. So it's either going to be the fourth row from the heichal or the fourth row from the mizbeach, or it might be like going different tiers going up, but he's outside. They show you approach, so it doesn't coagulate. And Let me just, is Shai still here? Shai, where's Ed? Ed? Dr. Parver? All right, he's not here, but if he was around, I'm curious how long it takes for blood to coagulate. Okay. Natal Machta, Machta means like a shovel. It means a shovel. Natal Machta, Balad Rosh HaMizbeach, he took a shovel, he went to the top of the Mizbeach, he pushed the coals like this way and that way, and he shovels up like the coals that are very much burning, very much. And then he came down and he puts that on the Robet Arabi, Shaba Azara, in the Azara. Now, with the coals, so the Gemara always explains is machloket how many fires were on the mizbeah, but everybody agrees that on Yom Kippur there was an additional fire with coals just to be used for the avoda that the Kohen is going to do for the l'tnayv l'tnim. Everybody agrees with that. So he's got that fire, he's got the coals with it. Now the Gemara is going to say now every day the Kohen, not necessarily the Kohen Gadol, but every day the Kohen takes coals to burn ketoret in the kodesh. So the Gemara says, every day he would take a shovel, a silver shovel, and take coals, and then put it into the golden shovel. Today, he shoveled out with the golden shovel, and he just brought that golden shovel in. In other words, every day is like two shovels. And they didn't want to do gold, I think, because the shovel was getting ruined in the fire. And the Torah Chasam Manan Shal Yisrael, I think that's what Rav Kahati said. So he says here that today he takes the golden shovel and he brings this, in other words, he takes the coals and that's what he's going to go in with. Every day he takes a shovel that can hold four kav of coals and he takes the content of that shovel and he puts in another shovel that can only hold three cow. So obviously, some of the coals are going to go outside the shovel and then they'll like sweep them up. but you want to light a nice heaping pile on the shovel. Today on Yom Kippur, he just takes one shovel with three kav and he goes into the base of Mikdash. Now, I don't know why one shovel. It could be a lot of these dinim are because of the chulsha of the Kohen Gadol, the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. We don't want him to make more work for him. That could be. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bechoyom Choteb Shal Sa'ah, Uma'ar Rabbi Tosh Shoshin Kabim. Yossi says the shiur were different. According to the time of Rabbi Yossi, every day he would dig with Shal Sa'ah. Sa'ah is six kav. He says, Uma'ar Rabbi Tosh Shoshin Kabim, and then put that in a shovel with three kav. So the other one said four and three. This is like six and three. So a lot is going off on the ground. Bayom Choteb Shal Shoshin Kabim, Uvayamachis. But everybody agrees that on Yom Kippur, he has a shovel that can hold three kav, and that's what he's going to walk into the Kodesh with, and the Kodesh Kodashim. The whole Yom, normally the shovel itself was very heavy, by Yom Kalatili light, meaning they would make it from like a thinner metal, because again, it's like hard for him to work, to lift all these things. He's like feeling shocked from the fasting and everything else, and he hasn't slept the whole night either. Normally the handle on the shovel is a short handle, today it's a long handle, because when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, we want him to be able to like lean it underneath his arm. Remember, he's going to have the Ketoret, the Kaf of the Ketoret in one hand, and the coals in the other hand. And we want to make it easy for him to carry those things in. So the arm of the shovel could fit under his arm, right? Right. So he says here, normally he took something with like a golden, like a yellow gold, today he takes like a reddish gold. So either the reddish gold is a higher quality gold, or in the reddish gold looks more like the blood of the korbanot. Every day, not necessarily the Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen brings like pras, like half of the Torah in the morning and half in the evening. Because every day the Torah is open in the base mikvah. Today, in addition to which, he's got like his hands full of Torah that he's going to bring into the Kodesh Kedashim. Every day, the Ketoret was a very fine Ketoret. Now it's like super fine. It's like because they would grind it even more. The whole Yom Tonim only is Rechosha Kevesh, Yordin Bama Rabo. The traffic flow in the base of Mikdash was, it's like a little bit like our traffic. Everybody stays to the right. So you're going up the Kevesh, and the Kevesh is 16 amot width. You stay to your right. And then you go around counterclockwise. You come down, you stay to your right. But from perspective, the person looking at the Mizbeach, the Kohanim were going up on the right, the Kohanim coming down on the left. Vayom, Kohen Gadol Leba Emsa V'Yorei Be'Emsa. Today, on Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol is in the middle. If he's the only one who's doing Avoda today, it's not going to be a problem. He goes up in the middle and comes down in the middle. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the only Kohen Gadol Leba Emsa V'Yorei Be'Emsa. According to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, you're the Kohen Gadol, you get to go Be'Emsa. That's the way it sounds like. Even during the year. If you look at the Rashi says the Kohen Gadol is Marek Bodovakan. Like he makes himself like a Ben Bayit. Like he's the Bala Bas in this place. The whole Yom Kohen Gadol Mekadesh Adabra Glabana Kior. Every day the Kohen Gadol, if he's doing a voda, would be Mekadesh his hands and his feet from the Kior, from the labor. But Hayom Minakiton Shazahab. Today he takes it from his golden flask. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen Gadol always used a special golden flask to wash his hands and feet. Now, Gemara gets in, and I'm going to have more of this, I think, later on, how many fires were on top of the Mizbeach? So, according to Rabbi Meir, there were four Marachot, four fires on top of the Mizbeach, and today on Yom Kippur there are five. Now, the four are, you have the one fire for the Korbanot, then you have one fire for the Ketoret, then you have one fire that's going to be like Eish Tamid, always has to be burning, And then there's another fire to burn the Evarim in the afternoon, like Korban Tamid in the afternoon. And a fifth fire is for the coals to go into the Kodesh Kadashim. So that's important to Rav Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer B'Choyim Shalosh V'Yom Arba. Rabbi Yossi says every day was three, today four. Rabbi Yudom Omer B'Choyim Shtayim V'Yom Shalosh, day two and three. I'm sure we'll elaborate. Okay, now what I said before about, we had two dinim about this Roved. Again, you know, I think I may have conflated the two together. I'm sorry, there were two different dinim. One was the Roved Rabbi Shabahechal. Line three of the Mishnah is with the blood. In other words, he checks the par and he gives it to somebody who's going to stand on the Roved Revi Shabahechal. That's the fourth row from the Hechal, the fourth row of tiles counting from the Hechal. Then there was another halacha that, where is it? He says in the Azara. One second. Yeah. He put the coals down on the Roved Revi Shabazara. That's a different halacha. I got confused with those two dinim, okay? So we're focusing on the first and on the fourth row from the Hechal. Let's say, now we think right now, the pshat we think means the fourth row in the Hechal. That's what we think. In other words, what we think it means in the Hechal. It says the Hechal. It says Roved Revi Shabahechal. So we think it means the fourth row in the Hechal. So the Gemara says, Akiv, the whole Adam will yeba all the way. Nobody can be an Ol Moed. If nobody can be an Ol Moed, so Mela, how could it be the fourth row? How can you give it to somebody to hold to mixing this blood in the Hechal? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Tani Shel Hechal. So he says, don't understand the Mishnah that it's not no Lamishu, that Robin Rabbi Shiba Hechal. Understand it Robin Rabbi Shel Hechal, is the fourth row. Like going from the Hechal. That's what we understand it. Okay, let me just take a look. First of all, any questions on anything we did today?
Yarok means yellow?
Yeah, well, okay. Well, let me confirm that you. Oh, okay, Yarok can mean green or yellow. I think here I'll go with yellow. I think here it's going to be yellow. What do you have?
That's yarok, what Art Scroll says, but I thought it meant green.
Sometimes it's green, sometimes it's yellow. There's a Tosos about that in Masech Anita. Okay, what's up, Yosef? Extra what? It is for the coals that he's taking now to bring them to the Kodesh Kadashim. That's the extra one. Okay. I think that's it, unless there's any questions. Wait. Take a look. Anything here? Let me see what we have. Is this fine? One second. All right. Well, we could try a story. One second. All right, I'll just do story for 1 minute. Okay, well, we'll see how the story goes today. Okay, and then this will be it. Okay, our Gemara states the principle of elucidation that Amir Afar Miyot, Tibushirim explains this principle figuratively. Diminishment followed by diminishment is only meant to make great. Oh, in other words, like a Hasidic way of learning, is Amir Afar Miyot, El Rabot, so means like if a Miyot, then I have a Rebuy. But he's saying, like on a Hasidic level, diminishing and diminishing is meant to make great. So when we make great in the eyes of others to the degree that we minimize ourselves. Rabbi Eliyahu Lupian once told about a big Baal Chesed who was a simple man. Years earlier, he had saved the life of the governor, and this earned him a degree of influence not enjoyed by other Jews. The man's relationship with the governor enhanced his ability to help people in need and even allowed him to secure army exemptions for many yeshiva students. Unfortunately, the man's efforts on behalf of other Jews were matched by an equally strong drive to be honored publicly. He rationalized that more prestige would further his efforts on behalf of the community. Once when he was visiting Slobodka, and again, this is in the Al-Hadaf, he began to boast about his accomplishments. He crowed, "You Batlanim should give someone like me Shishi." Even the Chafetz Chaim agrees, and Shishi among Hasidim is considered an important aliyah. He then related that he had met with the God of Ador and complained that since he didn't receive the honor he deserved, his ability to help the community was compromised. The Chafetz Chaim offered an explanation. Why do Chazal say that honor flees from before all who pursue it, and that it pursues all who run from it, like Kol Bereth when a Kavod gets the Kavod? Why do we need the word all? It would be enough to say, like those who pursue it or those who run from it. Apparently, the extra word call, all, teaches that honor flees from everyone who chases it, even one who deserves honor as much as you do. and anyone who flees from it, even someone as unworthy as myself, is pursued by it. The Pulishman explained, you see, even the Chafetz Chaim admits that I am worthy of more honor. Rabbi Eliyahu concluded, to see how much a person can make a fool of himself for a little kavod. Okay, that's it. Let me finish up today. Nice having everybody. Let me end up the recording. One second. Let me do the recording. One minute. I'm trying to end this recording.